Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right. Well, Ed, Halloween is in 2 weeks. So when it comes to our question today, instead of asking this question on October 31st, which originally was the plan, and if we released it October 31st, it'd be too late to do anything about it.
right. Yeah. Okay, let's do it now, today. What are we going to do? Yeah,
exactly. So 2 weeks. Halloween is in 2 weeks. If people are listening to this when it comes out. So what do you think is the best way that churches can leverage Halloween for the gospel?
Okay, so we're going to have to talk a little philosophy here and maybe a little kind of approach to culture first. Mm-hmm. If you're going to talk about Halloween, you have to say first and foremost that people should follow their conscience. I don't condemn anybody who comes to a different view than I do. I tweet every year that I'm going to be nailing 95 Reese's to my door for celebrate Halloween. So everyone who's, you know, knows the Reformation story has a little fun with that. Sometimes people like say they're offended by that. And okay, so here's the deal. If you believe that that is the participation in the work of darkness, I actually can get where you understand that from and you don't want to participate. Get that, respect your conscience. But the question here is what's the best approach? Well, let me just tell you what I think. I don't think, you know, I when my kids participate, and we do, I guess now they're a little older, but my guess is one will participate this year, that they are not participating in deeds of darkness. They're not worshiping the devil and they haven't joined a Wiccan coven. I don't think that having kids dress up. Now I will tell you in our view of with our conscience, we don't dress up in occult or, you know, religiously negative costumes. So my kids, you know, 100 ways you can dress. You can be a farmer, you can be a whatever. But we do participate in trick-or-treating now, or have at least. We'll have to see how it goes this year. But first, let me just say that some churches want to do a Halloween alternative, fall festival kind of thing. And again, follow your conscience. I don't think that's the most effective way of using the night. I do think that some churches, but I have churches that I have pastored, that I was a senior pastor of, that we did this. So I'm not against this, but the whole trunk or treat idea where you sort of, you know, go out and you open your trunks, and it's been a great neighborhood ministry. But it depends. You know, the last time I did that was at Grace Church and our Gallatin campus. It had a neighborhood around it, and it was great. All kinds of people came, but we were sort of in the neighborhood. It wasn't like we don't love you. They would just kind of come by here. Now, so that being said, what do I do and why? I believe that Halloween evening is the most opportune moment that I get each year to meet my neighbors. Now, someone will invariably say, well, you can go out and meet your neighbors anytime. Yes, but this is the only time all year that all of my neighbors are going to come to my house, knock on my door or ring my doorbell, and I'm going to get to greet them and meet them. And so for me, I want to enter into the ebb and flow of society. Now, again, your conscience may tell you that this is doing a practice that is somehow evil. I think ultimately, nobody that I know, I recognize that, you know, probably, you know, somebody has said along the way, this is the high night for Satan worshipers, but nobody coming to my house and nobody wearing a costume is doing that. So for me, I want to seize this moment. I believe that Halloween night could be the most missional night of the year. So what do you do? So I have an unfortunate situation that my street is the most visited street in Wheaton for some reason, and literally I have to give away a barrel of candy. So people drop their kids off or come with their kids from all over the town. So it's actually hindered me in some ways. But for most of us, the people that we're going to be seeing are the neighbors that we don't know. So here's what I would do. Number one, I would get a notepad and I would write down the names of your neighbors, ask where they live. Say, listen, I'm just trying to remember everybody because we want to have a you know, party in the spring. We're going to invite everybody to the party. So number one, a notebook to write the names of two. Number two, give more candy than everybody else. Don't give a penny and a tract. Instead, give more candy than anybody else. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with dropping a flyer in there about your church and saying, hey, just make sure you're giving the biggest candy bars and saying, let me also tell you about our church. And so great to meet you. What an opportunity we have as well. Number three is I would try to strike up conversations with people as they come. Now, this is probably not going to be at this moment where you're going to evangelize somebody, but you are going to begin a conversation, particularly if you go back to your notebook and you kind of mark down where people ultimately are. So I just, what I do is I don't just like come when the doorbell rings. I sit outside. I meet people because you have lulls sometimes and the parents are just desperate to talk to anybody other than the next person with candy. So for me, this is a missiological opportunity par excellence. It's an evangelistic opportunity that we should seize with all the caveats that if your conscience calls you a different direction, I love you. I support you. I'm not making fun of you. For me, I'm just saying, what night of the year can I go to my neighbor's home without any awkwardness or my neighbor come to mine? And what an opportunity for the gospel.
That's beautiful. I love how you started with the conscience piece because I definitely know individuals who will always react in that manner. So I fully agree with that. When it comes to the church event or some sort of alternative event, I have more of an issue when that happens on Halloween night,
right,
on October 31st. If it happens the Wednesday before or Sunday before, or if it's on some other day, I find that that is an effective opportunity for your church members to invite their neighbors and for you to even announce it as, hey guys, this isn't just a time for your kids to get, for us to get together and your kids to get candy. And this, I mean, that's not what this is. It is going to be fun, but this is an opportunity for you to invite your friends, your neighbors, and your kids to invite their friends. Give all the kids ministry flyers, great flyers to hand out to their friends at school and make sure it's not on Halloween. So it doesn't compete in that way. But in that way, you can create an opportunity to empower your church to invite to an event like that. Right. So I do enjoy and I do think it's a good idea for outreach when it is on another day. But on Halloween night, I agree with you, Ed. It is a wonderful opportunity to meet your neighbors. Now,
let me come back on that one, though.
Sure.
Because I think that the people who are doing Halloween alternatives are doing it on that night intentionally.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where maybe their conscience would come in, is that I get what you're saying, but you'd have to sort of adopt our view that trick-or-treating can be an opportunity do that. So if you did something on, I don't even know when Halloween falls this year, but if you did something on Wednesday and Halloween's on Friday, you're still, and you might violate your conscience. But what I find is most people, and you know, it's interesting how people sort of think through these things, because, you know, how is trunk-or-treat not similarly participating in this? I guess you're offering an alternative, perhaps. And Christians have always done that. You know, the reason Christmas is on December 25th is it replaced a pagan holiday. And by the way, the reason Halloween is when it is around the time of All Saints Day. I mean, that's why, you know, we see the connection between the two. So yeah, so it's a tricky thing. And I would say that when I was younger, I was a new believer. I would say my mom was a Christian. And then I was a Christian. So I was a teenager, 12, 13. I would have probably said then, no, you shouldn't. Don't be, there's a danger of that occult and some, you know, demonic things kind of getting on you. I totally get that view. Many Christians I deeply love say, don't do that. But for me, I'm less concerned about getting the demonic force on me, because I don't think that's the way people are thinking, practicing, or doing. And I'm more concerned with getting on mission at the opportunity that's there.
Yeah. Now, the thing that popped into my mind is I wonder, like, how would you advise churches in Salem, Massachusetts about this? Because, I mean, it's like that Halloween week is one of the, like, it is the economic driver for Salem, Massachusetts because of all the visitors.
Is that right?
Yeah, because of everyone that comes down. And then everyone who lives there knows, they know that, hey, we have to deal with all of these visitors these 2 weeks around Halloween. But hey, this is what's going to fund our economy for the next year. But when you think about it, you got to be pretty hardcore to go to Salem, Massachusetts for Halloween. So I wonder if there's more of an occult presence or intentionality toward Halloween.
I would say that ultimately it's kind of like, you know, when I was in Brazil, did the Christians participate in is it Mardi Gras? It's not called Mardi Gras, the Carnival.
Yeah.
And the answer is that most of them do, but not in the, you know, kind of the Rio kind of parade.
Okay.
I mean, I've been, you know, I've seen some of the preparation for that at church, evangelical church that was doing a great job. So what I would say is, because one of the tricky things is we need to be real careful that we're not there. So it's hard for us to kind of say from a distance, but I would say if it is particularly seen by regular people as demonic and as participating in the occult, then I would probably not. But I would say that's not the experience in any neighborhood I've lived in where people just don't see it that way. They think it is silly and harmless. Now you can debate whether it's harmless or not, because obviously I don't let my kids dress up in occult costumes.
Yeah.
But I would think that if it is overwhelmingly connected, like Mardi Gras can be both a celebration in some towns, but they can be so overwhelmingly connected with adultery and drunkenness and pornography and prostitution that you might just say, you know, this, we don't need to get close to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know what I would do there, because I don't know how much it would be, but I think I would take a deeper pause.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. For us now, it's been a couple months since we've moved back to Edmonton, and we've been praying as we were discerning the move. We were praying, Lord, please direct us to the right neighborhood. And we were able to, on Labor Day weekend, have a party with all of our neighbors and meet quite a bit of them, but not every one of them came, right? So during that party, we were able to get people's names and begin those relationships, because sometimes just going up to a door randomly and knocking is, you know, it can be a little bit awkward, especially if you've lived there for a while and you're like, hey, I've been your neighbor for the last 10 years, but I didn't come to say hi until now. Right. So I love the idea of Halloween being an opportunity to meet your neighbors. Now, I have a ton of neighbors that I haven't met yet, but to be able to actually go door to door with your kids, and if you don't have kids age to trick or treat, then being active like you, Ed, at your door, outside of your door, to give the best candy bars, to pour into the neighborhood, to get to know all the other parents would be definitely strategic. Because there are some, you know, these days, there are some parents, especially if the kids are a little bit older in elementary school, the parents don't even come up with them. Right, the parents will kind of stand at the sidewalk while the kids walk up to the door. For you to actually be outside of your door and for you to be standing there can actually invite more conversation than if you're just hiding inside.
Oh yeah, we would definitely see the difference that parents do come up, because we put a little, you know, it's cold in Chicagoland, so we put a little heater out and you know, I meet them, et cetera, et cetera. But again, I do think, and I know we're coming to the end, but let me just say that I think we want to really. Like, don't send Daniel M. letters about this. If you disagree with this, it's okay. But because I am not, you know, having, you know, demonic practices or anything else. It is a difference of opinion that sometimes Christians have. But sometimes they can really, really get strong in their opinions. And I would just say, this is one of those areas where I'd see kind of a Romans 14 moment that we're just going to have to kind of respect each other's views. Point.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. Do send us ideas that you have for engaging your community with the gospel on Halloween. We'd love to see that if you share that on social media with us. But also check out the Group Answers podcast with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel. Recently, they've talked about topics like the Enneagram and small groups, all-time best Bible studies, and our friend Trevin Wax went on their podcast to talk about discipleship trends. So just look up Group Answers.
Trevin Wax.
Just look up Group Answers on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com.